Everybody take your Bibles out. We're going to do something a little differently. I'm going to give my introduction, and then we're going to get into the scripture verses. And just like I promised, we're going to preach on lettuce tonight. How many of you like lettuce? All right. I have one friend of mine calls lettuce salads rabbit food. And so, but here's the thing. It's that you either like lettuce or you don't. And tell you what, with the New Year's wrapped up, with the new year's coming up, it's 2017 now. Everybody's turning over a new leaf. We're going to have some lettuce out of the... you're nice. And we're going to have some lettuce for the new year. And here's the thing, as they say, it's real healthy. At work, there's a big health push, and they're starting the Biggest Loser and all this other stuff. And every time there's chef salad at work, everybody signs up for it. Anyways, it's something else because, it's supposed to be really healthy for you. So tonight we're going to talk about eight heads of lettuce. Anyways, this kind of spurred a little bit back when I was in high school. We used to take turns as students doing the devotions before every day. And I'll never forget this one guy got up and he preached on what kind of potato are you? He preached on instant potatoes, and he had rotten potatoes, and he talked about a couch potato. But here's the thing: is tonight we're going to preach on lettuce. And so when Pastor comes back, what did Pastor Woman preach on Sunday night? He preached on lettuce. And so everybody, take your Bibles and turn to the first head of lettuce, and Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 1, Aaron, is that you calling my phone? Nice. And so I had to put it on vibrate because earlier it rang. And I think Aaron's trying to take advantage of that. And so either that or that pastor is streaming live and he's like, what are you preaching? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise bring left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Here's the thing: let us therefore fear. And how many of you got saved because you feared hell? Anyone? All right. Here's the thing: that was me. You know, I remember hearing as a young boy, we went to Baptist Boys Battalion. We didn't go to that. We actually had Baptist Boys Battalion, but that's a different story. We went to neighborhood Bible time, and the thing about it is I remember as a young boy, being afraid of hell. And I remember hearing the story about the rich man and Lazarus and all these things. And I remember the promises of God and all this other stuff. But see, here's the thing is, let's face it. Sometimes fear is healthy. And how many of you like snakes? Any of you? All right, y'all are weird. And just saying. And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, not a big snake fan. And so, there's a lot of things I'm not afraid of, but snakes just to, it's like, all right, there's all these things, if it's green, I don't know, whatever. And, all these things that talk about if it's poisonous or not, and if there's a slit in the eye. And here's the thing is, let's just kill them all and then be done with it. And but here's the thing is, some fear is healthy. And proper fear will get us saved. And the thing about it is, you know what? Just like we learned about this morning, I tell you what, it's an awesome thing to get saved. To no longer have to fear hell. The Bible teaches eternal security. And so, you know what? Once I'm on my way to heaven, hey, never have to worry about it again. It's like having an immune shot to snakes. It's like, then all of a sudden you could be a snake handler, and JT's one. No, he's not. But the thing about it certain fear is healthy. And, the fear of hell gets us saved. The fear of chastisement gets us right. Now, the thing about it is that I think of children. A lot of times raising children, when they're little, and they go over and they decide, like Aaron used to do all the time, to stick a screwdriver in a light socket. You smack their hand, and you know what? Elijah, pay attention. They don't associate, they associate fear of, hey, listen, if I go over there with a screwdriver, I get my hand smacked. And so the thing about it is now listen, as they mature, hopefully they get to the point where one day they obey out of love rather than fear, and we as Christians, hopefully, we're supposed to get to that same mature part. And I don't have time to look at that right now. But the thing about it is that fear keeps us right sometimes. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 1, he talks about this healthy fear. And Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here's the thing, is the Bible says the opposite of that is a fool that despises, I just lost the verse, fool that despises wisdom and instruction. See, the thing about it is there are some people out there that will not take correction. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times a person that will not take correction is someone that's unteachable. They will never obtain any further than where they are now. See, the thing about it is we talked in Sunday school about how correction is an opportunity to improve. And sometimes when God corrects us, yes, it's not fun. Yes, it's not enjoyable all the time. But the thing about it is if we fold our hands and say, you know, like the song, kind of using it in the wrong way, I shall not be moved. The thing about it is then we're never going to grow past that certain point. The Bible talks about the people that never grew past the infant stage. And so the thing about it is they were not able to be corrected. Fear is actually a very healthy thing. And so Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 also speaks about this fear. And let's see. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Bible talks about that there is some healthy fear. And the thing about it is you know what? When I was growing up, I feared my dad. I loved my dad, but I feared him at the same time. And if you haven't guessed already, I was one of those children that was always in trouble. My mom used to get really frustrated because she would have an entire day of just I'd be in trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And my dad would come home, and then all of a sudden I was a perfect angel. And what was it? I feared my dad. My dad, he spoke softly and carried a big belt. And so here's the thing is when I needed it, he took me to his room, gave me the lecture of all lectures. My dad, we joked around and we were like, "Oh, you're in for it. Lecture number 1,500." But anyways, he'd give us this lecture and then he'd whoop us. You know, it's like you hear the jokes about how they the belts have the cowboy scenes on it. And you know, the thing about it is after he was done, there was a cowboy scene on my backside. And but the thing about it is that my dad, I feared my dad, but I loved my dad, and that fear kept me out of trouble. I'll never forget one time I was acting up in church, and I was probably either Elijah or Dallas's age, and I was acting up in church, and I remember Pastor Town walked up. We had 7 or 8 pastors in my church, and Pastor Town was one of them. He was a retired military and a pastor at the same time, and he was one of those where he'd get in your face and call you a pansy if you needed it, and there were times I needed it. And it was like one of his favorite sayings was "suck it up, buttercup" and all these other things and "save the drama for mama" and all that. But here's the thing is that I'll never forget, I was acting up in church and he sat down behind me and tapped me on the shoulder and whispered something in my ear. Service was going on, I don't know what it was, but I knew that I wasn't going to cross Pastor Town. And I loved Pastor Town. Pastor Town was very influential in my life. I knew that he loved me. But the thing about it is you didn't cross Pastor Town. And so anyways, you knew that there's consequences. And so I was as good as gold the rest of the service because I knew Pastor Town was sitting behind me. My dad was sick or something like that. And my mom, it was the funniest thing. My mom shook his hand afterward and said, "Thank you. I was having a hard time with him." He's like, all he said was, "Hey, it's good to see you. And I love you and I'm praying for you." But I didn't hear what he said. So I figured just in case I better behave. And so anyways, he wasn't even saying anything. And I was just his presence. But the thing about it is sometimes there is such a thing as a healthy fear. And the Bible says, let us fear. Think about Jonah. Jonah did not have a proper fear of God. And what happened when God told him to go to Nineveh, you know what? He fled to Tarsus. And the thing about it is all of a sudden, you know what's funny is in the belly of the whale, he developed fear. You notice that? And all of a sudden, even though he didn't have the best attitude, he decided if God was going to do this, I wouldn't want to find out what God's next step is. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, fear is healthy. as a parent, I'll be honest with you, one of the things I fear is what happens to my children if I walk away from God. Because the thing about it is we all know, we've all seen parents that have walked away from God and Satan has had a field day with the kids, all because a parent said, do as I say, not as I do, or do as I say and not as I do. The thing about it is as a parent, I'll be honest with you, one of the fears that motivates me to stay right is, I've got three people that are watching me, that if I don't be the kind of example that I should be, their chances of turning out drastically are reduced. Here's the thing is, if I truly love them, the fear of what would happen to them will motivate me to do right. But the thing about it is that sometimes there is no fear. I think this is what's heartbreaking so much is you see somebody that used to walk with God and they don't, and they get away from God and it's a lack of godly fear. And you see things happening in their lives and you think, what does God have to do to get your attention? I remember talking to a teenager that was in my youth group for a while and he had car accident. He had three car accidents in a row. And I told him on the phone, I said, so when is enough enough? When is God going to get your attention? Does it have to be near death? And the thing about it is he didn't have a fear of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and the good man shall be satisfied from himself. And then look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible talks about... turn there real quick. My pages are sticking together. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the thing about it is everything began to go wrong for this person when they started getting away from God. You know, I'll be honest with you. We ought to have a certain fear of the Lord as far as what happens to us when we get away from God. Satan has a field day. And the next letter is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Here's the thing, let us therefore labor. Let us labor. In Nehemiah's day, the people had it in mind to work, and so they built the wall. It's a different wall than Trump is trying to build. But the thing about it is that they decided to build a wall. And so here's the thing is, we must get a mind to work. Let us get a mind to work. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You know, I'll be honest with you. Today, nowadays, it seems like work is a four-letter word. What do you mean they're going to work? And, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 through 33. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and there were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed, which his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. Here's the thing is, let us labor. You know, the thing about it is that nowadays it seems like it's hard to find somebody that's willing to work. It just seems like every job that I've ever been at, you have somebody that interviews. And when I was in New Jersey, I used to do the interviewing and the hiring and some of the training. And tell you what, you'd have these people coming in and then interview. And you'd be like, all right, well, how long have you worked at any job? Oh, 3 months. And how long have you been at your current job? Well, I quit. How long were you there? Oh, I was there a month. And why'd you quit? Well, you know, somebody was mean to me, and I didn't feel like I had to be treated that way. And I'll be honest with you, it seems like nowadays there's a dearth amongst the world even of people that are willing to work. But the thing about it is that same thing is trickling into the churches where, you know what, it used to be that a church member, I remember hearing this in Bible college back in the late 90s to early 2000s, that most church members would only stick around about 7 years. Now that has dropped drastically, and I believe the number is now, if you average it out, they took surveys across churches, the average church member, you're lucky to get them 4 years. The thing about it is why? I tell you what, the people that are willing to work and have responsibility and characters just drop drastically. So the thing about it is you know what? Verse 31, the Bible talks about, and when they had prayed, we need people that are willing to work in prayer. I'll be honest with you, too many times we take and we say, I prayed once and God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm not going to pray again. The Bible says pray without ceasing. One of the best examples I can give you of prayer is my mother. My mother is one of those people that I really believe, had my mother not been a prayer warrior, I would not be here. My mother, I remember many, many times of going by my mother's room, the Bible laying on the bed, and my mother weeping and my name being on her lips. And she was praying to a very, very holy God. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my mom. I remember times in college where I'd be trying to go to college full time and working full time, and this was before I met JT, and I was working in Chicago or Joliet, and I remember coming back at 3 and 4 in the morning after waking up at 6 in the morning, and I was on my way back falling asleep at the wheel, and my mom calling me later on and saying, "What was going on at 3 or 4 in the morning?" "Well, Mom, I was traveling home." "How many times did you fall asleep?" "Well, the thing about it is the God had woke her up and she was praying for me during that time. I really believe that the only reason why I didn't get into accidents, there was a time where I was dating my wife and I woke up in my in-laws' driveway. I was supposed to be going from home, or I was supposed to be going from work back to college, and I woke up in my in-laws' driveway in Michigan. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, common sense would say I was a ticking time bomb and I should have gotten into a serious car accident. There was times where I woke up and I didn't even know where I was or what I was doing. One time I fell asleep at the wheel on Indianapolis Boulevard, ran a cop right off the road. Nothing happened. And here's the thing, is why did nothing happen? I believe that the only reason is I had a praying mother. My mother used to pray growing up that God, please don't let Scott get away with anything. Help him to get caught for everything. Let me tell you, man, I got caught for things I didn't do even. And it was one of those things where, but I'll be honest with you, it's good for me. Because the thing about it is you know what? God used that, and God kept me humble. And the thing about it is God knew that the way I was wired, if I would have got away with some of this stuff, I wouldn't have turned out, because I would have been the most arrogant, sneaky, sly person you'd ever want to meet. Still that way a little bit. No, just joking. But anyways, here's the thing, is that my mother's prayers. Prayer works. The thing about it is we've got to get to the point where we pray without ceasing. We put some elbow grease to our prayer. The thing about it is my mother, she prayed for her sister for 14 years before her sister got saved. 14 years. Do we have loved ones that we're praying about? How many years have we prayed for them to get saved? And after the first year or two, how many of us have given up because, well, it must not just be God's will. We justify why we don't pray for things. But the thing about it is the Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Sometimes God wants to know how much you really want that prayer answered. The thing about it is that, I'll be honest with you, and then the thing about it is verse number 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and when they spake the word with boldness. Whenever I read that verse, I automatically think of, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Here's the thing is, how much of a bold witness are we? Here's the thing is, when it comes down to work, how much of a bold witness are we? We talked about hell. We talked about heaven earlier today. The thing about it is the Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Thing about it is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. The devil's happy with you when we don't witness. thing about it is we've all been there. We've all, the Holy Spirit has prompted us, hey, go give a tract to so-and-so. Hey, go tell somebody, go invite so-and-so to church. Hey, why don't you go tell someone so-and-so about how they can go to heaven? And the thing about it is we cower in fear and we explain away until all of a sudden the situation is gone. The thing about it is no, God is looking for people that have the audacity, have the grit in their crawl, have the character to spread the gospel when the Holy Spirit leads. And also serving. The Bible also says in that same verse, it talks about serving. The thing about it is churches like this, I'll be honest with you, you look around at the nice facilities that we have and the church that we enjoy. I think about people like Brother Mankey who helped build this church. I think about people like Brother Aaron who helped lead the singing. And I think about people like Rusty who fill in on the ushering. And here's the thing is, I hesitate to start naming names because there's so many people and so many people in this room right here that so faithfully for many years, like Miss Mary, have come to church. And why does so many people know Miss Mary? Because you know what? She's been here for I don't know how many years doing what, you know what, teaching the young people, trying to instill character in them. And the reason why she yells at them is because she wants them. She wants them to obey so that they can learn. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I believe she's had a part in many young people getting saved. Because you know what? She was in her place. She was faithful. She was doing it. She was serving God with her life. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, too many of us, we selfishly guard our time. We selfishly guard our talents and say, you know what? Well, you know what? I don't really have time for this or I don't really have time for that. The thing about it is listen, the Bible says, moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. You know what somebody that's faithful is? Somebody that can be counted on. Somebody where you know when you walk in this church, you're going to see somebody like Miss Mary. You're going to see someone like Lillian. Somebody that's in their spot day in and day out, unless they're sicker than a dog, they're going to be there. And the thing about it is that somebody that's faithful, I'll be honest with you, if we're not faithful, we're not going to be used of God. If we're not faithful, we're not going to make a difference. The thing about it is God is not looking for hit and miss Christianity. I call it the pendulum Christian life. Well, we're on this day and we're off that day. We're on this way. The thing about it is the Bible says, you know what? The faithful man shall abound with blessings. God has all kinds of things to say about the faithful man. Thing about it is you know what? We're never going to make a difference in a lost and dying world if we're not faithful. Faithfully serving. You see, the thing about it is churches like this would not be here if it weren't for the faithful man and the faithful lady. Next lettuce is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help of time of need. The key word is to come. Who is to come? A little bit of an English lesson. Who is to come? We're to come. How are we to come? Boldly. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 or 14, I'm sorry. And the Bible says, and this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. The Bible says, this is the confidence. The Bible talks about we should come boldly before the throne of grace. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Hey, listen, what time are we to come? To obtain mercy, to find grace and help of time of need. Here's the thing is, I am helping by prayer. I am interceding for others' needs. And the thing about it is that, listen, when we have somebody in our church that's hurting, when we have somebody in our church that's sick, when we have a pastor that's away out of town and he's going to have to do a lot of driving, you know what? We should intercede for him. We should come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for that person. I'll be honest with you. One of the pet peeves of mine, if you will, is when we're having prayer time and so-and-so is talking about, well, you know what? I've got this loved one that's not saved, or I've got this person, that person. And then there's somebody in the background. Hey,
You hear about the new latest video game? And the thing about it is basically what that person is saying is, I don't give a rip about your lost loved one. I don't give a rip about the person that's sick. I don't give a rip about what I care about is me. And the thing about it is, hey, listen, you don't matter. And the thing about it is the Bible says that we're supposed to be interceding for others. When somebody has a prayer request, we should be praying for them. When somebody has a need, we should be praying for them. Listen, it doesn't necessarily mean that every time JT needs money, I whip out my wallet and hand it to him. But you know what? That'd be a lot. And anyways, Captain Moneybags right there. If you need money, he's it. And so if I had his money, I'd burn some. And but anyways, the thing about it is that no, we should be praying for him all the time. And but here's the thing. It's no. Listen, whenever there's a need, we should be praying. I'll be honest with you. You talk about the successful Christian life. It can be summed up with others. Others, yes, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. You know what the thing about it is that when we get to the point in life where all we care about is ourselves, that is the most miserable existence. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Give of our time, give of our talent, give of, you know what? Here's the thing is give of our prayers. So the thing about it is we should boldly go before the throne. Here's the thing, it's like I said before, I'm so glad that my mother wasn't just praying selfishly. I'm so glad that my mother was praying for her son. And you know what? Because her son needed it. The thing about it is I am a product of my mother's prayers. The question is who's a product of your prayers? Who's a product of my prayers? Who have we prayed for more than just, hey, bless JT. Hey, be with Ralph. You know, and here's the thing is, Mrs. Oswald comes to me and says, hey, pray for so-and-so. Dearly Father, pray for so-and-so. All right, needs met. You know, and it's like, I told her I'd pray for her so-and-so. I did, and now I can just forget about it. No, the thing about it is we ought to have a prayer list. I'll be honest with you. You talk about faith. You want to grow faith? Get a prayer list, start praying, and start marking the answers to prayers off. And I tell you what, it'll amaze you how God works in our lives. Because the thing about it is when we just kind of pray for so-and-so and move on and we forget all about it, when that prayer gets answered, we don't know about it. We didn't care enough to ask. And so the thing about it is we ought to take and we ought to pray for others. Let's move on for sake of time. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works, and a faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Let us go on to perfection. You know, the thing about it is the perfect Christian life is not one of being sinless. Because the thing about it is if you had to be sinless to be mature, I guarantee you I wouldn't be there. I guarantee you pastor wouldn't be here. I guarantee you no one would be there. See, the thing about it is that perfection is not sinlessness. It is living your life to full potential. And how do you reach full potential? By giving your life over to God. By living your life, just like we talked about in Sunday school, the way God would want us to live. As far as having God's priorities be my priorities. And you know what? The Bible talks about working out your salvation, not necessarily working on your salvation or working for your salvation. It's working out your salvation so that others know that we're Christians. Thing about it is that the Bible says, "Here are epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men." Thing about it is when somebody sees us, what do they see? Do they see a true Christian, or are they surprised when you say, "Well, I'm a member over there at Calvary Baptist Church." Really? And the thing about it is that let us go on unto perfection. You know, we can't mature until we're born. Obviously, the Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here's the thing. There's two kinds of Christians out there. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. There's two kinds of Christians out here. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither ye are now able, for ye are carnal.
For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The thing about it is there's the carnal Christians. This would be the pendulum Christian life people. And I'll be honest with you, these are the people that they're more worried about things out in the world than they are in the spiritual realm. They're more worried about the cars they can get than witnessing to a loved one. They're more worried about the higher paying job, or they're more worried about whatever than going to church. And the thing about it is that, listen, these people are the ones, the Bible says, for ye are carnal, whereas it is among you envying and strife and divisions. Hey, listen, these are the people, a lot of times, they're splitting the church. They're splitting the church over the color of the carpeting. You talk to any preacher, you talk to any preacher's kid, you talk to any deacon that's been along for a while. I tell you what, the church is split over the silliest things. There was where I grew up, the church that I grew up at, I didn't realize this until I was an adult. My pastor, Pastor Dobson, was colorblind to a degree. He loved light blue. So every building in the property was light blue. The outside of it was light blue. And the thing about it is one time this lady came up and said, "Pastor, we're building a new building. I don't think that it should be light blue." And Pastor said, "Listen, we already have the paint. We're going to paint it light blue. Deacons and trustees voted on it or decided on it. This is what we're painting it. And it's not really an issue." And he thought it was over and moved on. She went around, "Oh yeah, you hear the pastor wouldn't even listen to my," and she went around nitpicking and gossiping. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's a group of people that were mad at the preacher because he picked light blue, because the 14 other buildings that were there were light blue, and she wanted another color on the 15th building. And she went around, and she started nitpicking, she started dividing, and "Mrs. Osbaugh, did you hear about that preacher?" And "Ralph, did you hear about that preacher?" And she started circling around the church, making phone calls, and the gossip line, and all this other stuff. And the thing about it is that she took a whole group of people out of the church, and you know what? Most of them left church and never went to another church, all because she wanted a building light blue didn't want a building light blue. What a stupid thing to pull a bunch of people out of church over. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, to her, the color of that building meant more than lost souls. To her, the color of that building meant more than people being fed spiritually. Thing about it is when it comes down to it, a carnal person, that's what they live for. They live for the color of the pews, or they live for the ceiling, how the ceiling looks, or they live, that's more important than lost souls. And the thing about it is I'm not talking about the person that's trying to use their facilities to draw in a crowd. I'm not talking about those people, but I'm talking about people where they just have to be different. We all know those people where they just, Captain Disagreeable. And, but the thing about it is that here's the thing is we should get to the point where we care more about the spiritual realm than we care about the carnal realm. See, the thing about it is we should use the carnal realm to build the spiritual realm, not use the spiritual realm to build the carnal realm. For instance, preachers, I knew a preacher one time where you know what? He had a small church, but he drained that congregation dry because he thought he should have a certain salary in his mind. And he was pushing them to keep on giving him more and more and more. And he had to have a nice car, and he had to have this, and his kids had to go off to this college and out of college. And you know what? He shouldn't have to do this, and he shouldn't have to do that. And he felt entitled. And I'll be honest with you. He used the spiritual realm to build the carnal realm. His focus was in the wrong area. If we're not careful, we can use the spiritual realm to build the carnal realm. Here's the thing is we just got to get the priorities that God has. And the thing about it is we're not going to get that until we get into the Word of God. The next one is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Here we have the people that are used of God to build other people. And this is the mature Christian life. The thing about it is I remember Dr. Hiles, one of my heroes growing up, he used to have a silent prayer. It went like this.
He would get down on his hands and knees. I don't have the pulpit, or I've only got the pulpit mic, so I won't do it. He would get down on his hands and knees and he'd That was his silent prayer. He wanted God to bless him, but not so that he could keep it. He wanted God to bless him so that he could turn around and bless somebody else. He wanted his life to be for others. You know, he wrote that poem, Others. He wrote a poem about others, and I'll be honest with you, that was his philosophy in life as being a pastor. The thing about it is when we get to that same thing where we live for others, look at Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did Christ do? Christ lived for others. Are we not supposed to be Christians, little Christs? The thing about it is too many times we say, it's all about me. And the thing about it is we live our life and we get these worldly philosophies on entitlement. Well, I deserve. I like what my mother-in-law used to say to my wife growing up. You know what you deserve? Hell. He's like, whoa, said that to your kids. But you know what? The thing about it is it made an impact on my wife. And the thing about it is she's not an entitled woman. My wife is such a blessing to me and such an awesome wife and mother. But the thing about it is you know what? It was statements like that her mom said that really got her to stop and think that, you know what? Maybe I don't want what's fair. Because what's fair to me is dying and going to hell. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. If we got what we deserved, we'd be on our way to hell. There'd be nobody in this room that said, you know what? Well, it's good enough. I don't have to. The Bible says, our righteousness is filthy rags. So the thing about it is let us go on to perfection. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, let us draw near. I'll be honest with you. We need to just get an old-fashioned revival of cuddling up next to God. Drawing as close to God as we possibly can. Let me tell you, one of the best things I love about my family is I love sitting in church. And let me tell you why. Because when I sit in church, I have my wife that cuddles up next to me. And she grabs my arm or she grabs my hand. And she wants to be near me. And she wants to hold my hand. She wants to hold my arm. She wants to be as close to me as I can. And then I have a daughter that grabs my other arm. And she'll grab my hand and she'll cuddle up next to me. And here's the thing, to me, I'm the luckiest man in the world. Having a beautiful wife on one side and a beautiful daughter on the other that cuddle up next to me. And you know what? It makes me feel warm and fuzzy, and I love it to death. And you know what? There's going to be a time where my daughter is deciding that she's going to be old enough to leave the house, and I'm going to tell her no. And but the thing about it is that, listen, I love it when my wife and my daughter cuddle up next to me and just say, you know, my wife and I had this deal, you know, we'd be sitting in church, and I'd be, you know, I love. And then I point at you, and she'd go, I love you. And it sounds kind of corny, but the thing about it is you know what? It was ways of affection, and it made me feel so much love, and it made me, you know what? I wouldn't trade that for anything. But the thing about it is you know what? We can get that close to God. You know, I tell you what, the Bible says that He wants to walk and talk with us. Hey, listen about this. The Heavenly Father said, come boldly before the throne. Do you realize back in Bible days, you didn't come before the throne unless you had permission? You didn't come before the throne and ask a petition of things unless you were called upon? The thing about it is listen, the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords said, hey, listen, anytime you want, you come boldly up to the throne. Why? Because you're heirs to the throne. You know what? We're the children of God. And the thing about it is we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come to the creator of the universe and say, God, hey, I have a need. Or God, Christy's got a need. Look at who she's married to. And anyways, the thing about it is, or Billy's got a need. Look, no, just joking. But anyways, so I got to give you a hard time, Lillian. And so the thing about it is listen, you know what? We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and the Bible says God will hear our prayers. And I tell you what, that is an awesome thing. But too many times we don't use it. Thing about it is we need an old-fashioned revival. And lastly, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We need a revival of holding fast. Holding fast to our profession, holding fast to our doctrine. Here's the thing is, you know what? There are many people that say, well, Christ wasn't born of virgin birth. Well, there goes our salvation if that was the case. But the Word of God says he is born of a virgin, so therefore he was born of a virgin. The thing about it is we should hold fast to the doctrines. As long as we get them out of the Word of God, we should hold fast. Listen, Professor Itchy Bottom or Captain Highwater Pants, you can come up to us and say, hey, listen, you know what? Well, I believe, you know, science says, hey, phooey on science. The thing about it is you know what? If it's against the Word of God, it's false. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if they say creation is just another theory. Think about it is evolution is far-fetched. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And bless God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Listen, you may want to come from monkeys, but you know what? You're not going to make a monkey out of me. And so the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, we need an old-fashioned revival of holding fast onto the doctrines. We need an old-fashioned revival of holding on to convictions that come out of the Word of God. You look at it, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled by the king's meat. And bless God, you know what? Because of his conviction is a powerful conviction, one that he was willing to stand on. Because of that, God used him in a mighty way. And the thing about it is too many times we as Christians, we don't have that powerful conviction. We don't stand on our convictions. We don't stand on the Word of God. And you know what? We failed to be used by God because we don't stand on the Word of God. Listen, obedience always equals blessing, and disobedience always has a punishment. Once we get that down, I tell you what, we'll start to see the blessings flow. And God has standards and convictions out of the Word of God that we either stand on or we get washed around by every wave of doctrine, the Bible says. We need to have an old-fashioned standing fast of consistency. We talked about that earlier. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And we're going to stop right there. Only I didn't get through all eight heads of lettuce. If you want to go through Hebrews, you can look up the rest of them. But here's the thing is, there are some people that don't like eating lettuce. I don't understand it. When I have a burger, I like me a nice, thick, juicy hamburger patty, slab of cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles, mayonnaise, ketchup, whatever I can fit on there, it's on there. And bless God, you know what? That one burger is a meal in itself. But the thing about it is there are people that they're pansies. They like the hamburger patty, maybe a slice of cheese, and I gotta have it plain. Well, here's the thing is, you know what? Whatever. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. That lettuce is part of some of the healthiest stuff, and the tomatoes and the whatnot. We know the burger probably isn't healthy, and the bread's not healthy. But here's the thing is that I'm not vegan, by the way. But here's the thing is that, listen, when it comes down to it, the lettuce in the Bible, if we'll get down these lettuce in the Bible says, thy word was truth, and I did eat them. The thing about it is if we'll eat the heads of lettuce that are in Hebrews right there, what we'll find is we're a well-rounded Christian. Not well-rounded as this way, but well-rounded as far as, yeah, we're Baptist. And so here's the thing is, we need to be healthy spiritually. So just keep in mind those heads of lettuce. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you so much for these lettuces in the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, it's something that we all need to work on at all points in time. Dear Heavenly Father, the Bible talks about that Satan's a sly dog. I think about the Sunday school song, Satan is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. The thing about it is that's not possible. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to stand fast. Help us to be men and women of prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, these lettuces in the Bible, I pray that you help us to apply to our lives tonight. Dearly Father, I pray that you help us to stand fast. And Dearly Father, I pray that you just help us to make a decision tonight to apply these to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.